Alrighty, we're ready to go. Shavua Tov, everyone. Wonderful to see you. And today's daf in Masechet Nedarim is daf Chof Hei. And, you know, we've been going a little bit too far. I think we're getting like almost an entire omud ahead of ourselves, which is sort of going to mess up the dapim as they appear on the site. Anyway, all right, we'll try to get back to normal. Anyway, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah, when we were talking about Nidrei Havai, which are hyperbole, so the first one was hyperbole. And it was hyperbole because we said people will often refer to tons of people as, wow, Kiyotze Mitzrayim. But all they mean to say is tons of people. The same way when they say a skyscraper, they mean a very high building. And that therefore, the Neder is essentially what it is that he's saying. You know, he's telling the truth. He did see that. And therefore, it fits directly with the words. But the other one is different. The second case in the Mishnah was Imlo Ra'iti Nachash Kikorat Beit Habat. And the problem with that is that initially, we did think that this was merely another hyperbole. Wow, it's this gigantic Nachash, which everyone would know can't possibly be that big. The problem is that that is not true. There can certainly be a nochash that is as big as a nochash as a Korat Beit Habad would be. So ask the Gemara, why exactly do we assume that that is Nidre Havai? Hello? V'ahuchimia, da'avi b'shneshvar malka. We know that there was an actual snake that appeared in which they threw 13 entire stables of hay at it, and it swallowed them all. And because of that, what they did was, this, by the way, was a favorite way of getting rid of snakes that were dangerous to human lives. So what they would do was they would actually feed snakes, and they would feed them things that had not fire, but hot coals in them. And it would be surrounded by something else, like hay or something. They would put in actual bait in there that the snake would detect. So it would be like animal blood or something in there. And the snake would then swallow it in one big gulp. And then ultimately it would be killed by the coals. And this one, they threw 13 such things at it, and it swallowed them all. Now, that is a heck of a lot larger than an olive beam, you know. So why are we saying that this is necessarily an exaggeration? I mean, snakes really do come in this size. Well, Mashmu, it doesn't mean size. It means how it was that it was shaped. When it says that I saw a nachash kikorat beit habat, as we explained in the mission, it means that it was taruf. And the taruf means that it had ridges along its back. It was really basically a little dinosaur crossing the street. And nobody's ever seen anything like that. And that's what it means when it says it's like an olive beam, which were apparently ridged in order to be able to press more strongly to hold the olives there. And the question that I want to ask is, wait a minute, I thought all snakes have ridges. No, not along its back. He's talking about agabo toruf kamrinon. You can see ridges like where it bends its neck up and so on. Yes, but here the entire back was ridged. And that, there's no such thing. So basically, you know, I mean, maybe there were once dinosaurs like that, but they sure aren't around anymore. And therefore, we understood that this is a completely different idea of Havai. This is Havai in the sense that it's clear that what he was saying wasn't true, and that everybody knows it. And then he's making one of these statements, well, I'll be damned if I didn't see. I mean, you know, obviously he's not really cursing himself. And then the same thing is true over here. You know, I'm going to answer everything on myself if I didn't see a dinosaur. And I'm like, okay, everybody understands that it may not be hyperbole, but it certainly is something that is being said in order to make an impact on the little kids in the room, and it has absolutely nothing to do with reality. So, I mean, isn't that an awfully strange way of talking about, I saw a little dinosaur crossing the street? I mean, why did he just say that? Why did he say he saw something that looked like an olive beam? What is that talking about? Ah, that's because, remember, one of the ideas in the Mishnayos, Klal, in the Lashon of Talmid HaChachamim, in, as the Pasuk says, Vayivkar Lashon Erumim, is that the maximum density of information is what we always attempt to convey. Now, over here, we're able to tell you a milta agav urche. Whenever we can mention something, which meanwhile addresses another issue, we do. And over here, it's telling us something, namely, that I can use the word korat beit habat to mean a rigid beam, which means not rigid, but ridged beam. And that tells me a chiddush, namely, my nafkamina is that if you order a korat beit habat from Amazon and it arrives without the ridges in it, then it's considered to be a mekach ta'ut and let them pay the postage for the way back. And it would always be a mekach ta'ut. And it's coming to tell me, lemekach ulememkar, lomar lecha, that anyone who sells a korat beit habat, it's only considered to be a proper sale, igabo taruf. Then yes, but he lo, then he can say it was mekach ta'us, and he gets his money back completely. And now we're up to our irresistible pair, which is Sir Richard and Doc. There they are. They're just right up one against the other over there. And let's see who's going to get it.
Maybe we can do a duo, you know? Yeah, both of us try it. Now if we can get it in key.
Absolutely. Excellent. There we go. Lovely. A little bit of humor on a Mitzvah Shabbos goes a long way. All right. So our next category after the Nidrei Zeruzin and Nidrei Havai, number three. So the third case that the Mishnah says are the Nidorim that are considered to be ipso facto batul. You don't need to go to a Chochem to be mevatel them. And then we said they were Aber Nidorim, Hitiru Chochemim. So it means right up front. So that would include Nidrei Shigagot. So where a person did not remember or realize, or we'll see four examples of this, and there's some mistake made in the Neder. Now, we'll see that the truth is, this is not just a Svara. It's actually based on a Pasuk, which we'll get to when we start the Gemara. But let's first talk about what would it be that you just made a mistake. The Neder was made by mistake. That's what Shkagot means. So a guy says that, I'm telling you that if I had any Coke today, then I'm going to assert myself on all kinds of fruit, you know, and he forgot. He forgot that actually he had some Coke that day, or he said, if I had a steak today, and he did have a steak today. And then he remembered, oh, heck, I did. But since he didn't know that, so therefore it was a mistake. He didn't want to make a neder that would assert these fruit on him. Or the opposite could be true also, where a guy says, if I do eat or drink, then I'm going to assert all these fruit on myself. And then he goes ahead, he forgot all about his neder, and he did eat or drink. Now, over here, there's no mistake in the neder, but there is mistake in the chalot ha-neder, so that the neder is not chal because of the fact that the trigger for the neder was triggered by mistake. So that's also considered to be Nidrei Shigagot, of a completely different type. Now, another type of neder like that would be somebody says, Konam Ishti Ne'enetli, because she stole my wallet and went on a shopping spree. Or because Hiktad Bani, she hit my kid, I don't approve of hitting my kids. And then it turned out that she didn't. And no doubt she lo ikato, no doubt that she never did. Now, this idea that he has to actually say so is a little bit strange because, I mean, if he didn't say anything, the mashma'ut is that it would be a neder. It wouldn't be considered to be nidrei shigagah. So then this is more like a neder with a tanai. So I mean, the point over here is that he never said, if she stole my wallet. He said, because she stole my wallet. So the point is that that's the only way that we know that that's the issue. But as the Rajba points out, look, if it was just in the middle of, let's say, they were fighting over the question of what happened to his wallet, he says, I'm sure you took it, who knows what kind of bills were going to be getting on the credit card, and then he makes the neder, and he doesn't say a word about it, That would be exactly the same as the other Nidre Shagaga. So the only reason that we're mentioning that he had to say it is not because he's making a Tanai and he's stipulating, I'm asking her because. It's because otherwise, how would we know that it's Nidre Shagaga at all? That's the point. But it's really similar to these others. But over here, it was a mistake about a factual issue. And then there's another level of Nidre Shagaga. And this level of Nidre Shagaga is something that goes back to how it is that we understand the situation just based on what anybody would take for granted are the facts. And that is, he sees a bunch of people in the distance that have climbed up on one of his fig trees, and they're eating them. Now, he doesn't see who it is, but he figures, aha, they're back again. Somebody's been coming around and stealing figs. And he yells out, all right, you guys, I finally caught you. All of these figs are usher on you with a konam. Now it turns out it was his father, his brother, you know. And well, so we understand that, of course, he didn't mean to usher them. Now, probably the correct answer is, then what if hayuim ahem acherim? So what about if there were other people there? So in other words, it's true that part of this neder is clearly a mistake, but it's not a mistake for everybody. I mean, maybe there were 20 people there and his father and brother were also there. So what's the din about the other people in the neder? Now, this, of course, opens up a completely different question. So this is a question, we've spoken about this in the when we were talking about nedarim, that are not capable of being kept kikol hayotzei mipiv yaseh. So we were medayik that kikol hayotzei mipiv means either you can do it all or it's not kal. So now in this case, it's not a question, can you do it? It's a question of, was it meant? It clearly wasn't all meant. Nobody would think that someone would be such a low class individual as to shout out to his father that his figs are usher on him. I mean, it's clear that it's a case of mistaken identity. But what about the other people? So this is the question. Do we include this in the idea of kikol hayotzei mipiv? And therefore, if part of the neder is certainly not meant to be applied, so does that mean that none of it is applied? Because as stated, it cannot be a neder. So that's called, if Gavi is here and he's not just a big G, so if Gavi is here, he should write down the words that neder shebatal mitzasai or shehutar mitzasai, hutar kulei. So if we have to cancel part of a neder, then that would mean that automatically the entire neder would be canceled. I would suggest that Gavi may be driving or something, and that maybe Moshe should actually. Oh, here we go. So no, it looks like he's ready to write. Okay, so then please write that down. And that opens up a completely new issue. So this is the issue. Is this considered to be a neder shuta mitzasa huta kula? Because it's not kikol hayotzei mipiv yaseh. Now remember that there's something a little bit weird about this. And we should note it right away. Because if we're ready to say that nidrei shagagos are meant to be understood as not including daddy, right? So then when somebody says those words to a group of people, which include daddy and brother, so then we don't assume that those words are referring to daddy and brother. So then the question is, then it's not a neder shuta or mitzasa. Because what we're doing is we're saying, well, the neder doesn't really include them. We understand that it doesn't include them. So, I mean, in what sense have we canceled the neder? It must mean, if we're going to question that issue, it must mean the neder as stated, kikol hayotzei mipiv, cannot be done, kikol hayotzei mipiv, right? Okay, but then it would depend on the wording of the neder, as we're going to see. So if there's nothing about the wording of the neder that is necessarily a big mistake, so then it is not a neder shuter mitzasa because it never really was meant to include daddy. Okay, So we're going to talk about that at great length now in the sugya that's coming up, because that's the question of what is hayotze mipiv? How precise do we mean those words, kol hayotze mipiv, precisely as stated? What exactly is that meaning? So here's the issue. So we find out that there were other people together with daddy and brother. What's the din over there? So Beit Shammai says, well, the father and the brother, who were never meant to be included in the neder, are not, and they're mutter. But everybody else is usher. And Beit Hillel says, no, actually, once we have to cancel that neder, then we have to cancel the entire thing. And here is where we're going to get into the question of what exactly do we mean by cancel. But first, let's take a look, like we did in the other cases, what would be the din of shvuos that are shigagos? So Tana, k'shem shenidrei shigagot amutarim, so too are shvuot shigagot mutarim. Now the truth is that this is very, very misleading, because the makar of the din of nidrei shigagos is actually shvuos and not vice versa. But this Gemara makes it sound like is that the Iker din is a din in Neder, and we're willing to apply it to Shavua. But the truth is that the Mokar in the Torah to this Halacha is the Pasuk of L'kol Asher Yivate Ha'adam B'Shavua. And those words, Ha'adam B'Shavua, are understood by us as meaning that the entire person must be invested in the Shavua. Ha'adam B'Shavua. So, from there, we learn out that the same halacha is true about nedarim, because we have our hekesh of nedarim to shvuas. So the only reason the Gemara is saying kishem is because since our Mishnah has been focused here in the second nedarim, obviously on nedarim, so we want to tell you that, of course, the same thing would be true l'gabei shvuas. Okay. The truth is that we need to understand this halacha a bit more, because remember that the cases that we're talking about over here seem to be cases where we're taking for granted that everybody knows. I mean, so Mamanovshah, how does this work? Is it working because of a simple svara that it's an umdana? Meaning, since we know that that's not what you meant, so therefore it's not pivli boshavim. Because remember, I mean, when it came to Nidrei Ziruzin, we said that everybody knows. And that when you hear people negotiating, then it's clear that that's what a negotiating stance is. It isn't meant to be taken seriously, that there's absolute, I mean, anybody who's, you know, talked to an Arab in the shuk knows exactly what those words mean when he swears up and down by his mother's life or his mother's grave that, you know, he paid more than that. I mean, how is he going to sell it to you? You know, I mean, I paid double that. What are you, crazy? And in the end, he sells it to you for, you know, a tenth of that. I mean, literally. Okay, so you're used to the idea that there's absolutely no connection to reality in these kind of things. Okay, so that's Nidrei Zeruzin. Is the same thing true about Nidrei Shigagos? I mean, certainly when the guy made a mistake, you know, and he didn't remember. He didn't remember that he had had some coke today. He didn't remember he had a steak today. And we certainly cannot say, well, it's an umdana, right? I mean, how is it an umdana? The guy, maybe that's what he was saying. If, you know, I think I didn't have it. So, okay, so you made a mistake. So you're committing yourself that if you made a mistake, you're not going to be eating any of these pears this week. I mean, what's so bad about that? So there, for sure, if it wouldn't be that we had the pasuk of Ha'adam B'Shavuah, there'd be no way that we would jump to the conclusion that just because he made a mistake, therefore he doesn't have to keep his neder. It's only the Ha'adam B'Shavuah that tells us that. But now let's talk about what about the case about daddy and bro, right? In the case of the figs. So over there, you could say, well, we have an umdana. Is it the type of umdana that would actually be sufficient in and of itself for us to say that we would cancel, let's say, a sale based on it? Is it an umdana that would make a mekach toz? Unlikely. Because, I mean, we don't really have enough information to say that. I mean, I don't know what's going on in his family and whether he's furious at his father or, you know, who's been stealing money from his bank account or whatever. I mean, how are you going to say that it's an umdana? So, in other words, the idea of Ha'adam B'Shvu'ah allows us to say the contrary. And since a Shavu'ah, and remember that this is the way that we've understood the whole sugya, since a Shavu'ah is an alternative reality, we don't start with the reality and then wonder whether we have an umdana to cancel what's said. The opposite is true. That's what Ha'adam B'Shvu'ah means. It's telling me that unless we know that the person is fully invested, so if it's not clear to us that the person is invested, then it's not a neder. That's how the Torah is magdir a neder, because a person who's not invested in an alternative reality doesn't fall for the alternative reality. And why should we look at a neder as being serious? Remember our old idea of zeh hadavar. The whole thing is basically imaginary. So if that's the case, then it really is a mocker and a pasuk that allows us to extend what would normally be insufficient to be called an umdana, but which now becomes sufficient because we do not see evidence that the person is fully engaged in a shvua. But we still have the opening words, l'kol asher yivate ha'adam b'shvua. And that has to do with k'kol, the idea of k'kol hayotze mipiv. Now, that's the question that all along has been so fundamental in the sugyas, all of the sugyas, the role of language and the meaning of language. So here we have to deal with that issue as well. I understand that he never meant for his father to be included. So, okay, let's take the part about a shagaga. When we say that shvua shagagas are mutter, what do we mean? Well, I mean, we know that people oftentimes back up what they're saying and they back it up with a shvua. And this was a case with Kahana and Rav Asi. They always would have fights, you know, because they were both talmidim of Rav. And as we know, Rav was understood one way by saying that there was a treta nai, a little bit of Rav. I mean, that's like very, very common. So you have two of the talmidim, and one says, look, this is what he was saying. No, he was exactly the opposite. And each one swears to their approach. I'm telling you, Rav said that this case was the case that was mutter. No, I swear that he said the other way. So this used to happen all the time. So then Rav Kahana and Rav Asi would swear against each other that Rav said the opposite. Now, he couldn't have said both of them, right? So what happens? So then they would go to Rav, and Rav would tell them, okay, what did you say? This is what I said. This is actually, the Gemara goes through the whole thing, actually in Shavuos. So then when he would say like one or the other, so the other one said, so what? So I swore sheker? Is that what you're saying? He says, no. Lipcha anascha. This is what you believed was reality. But remember that Shavuos and Nedarim is always about virtual realities. So fine, in your virtual reality, that's what was absolutely the case. I said what I never said. All right. So that's considered to be just the statement per se. Now, in the context of our Mishnah, when we're talking about the Shavuos, here that are similar to the Nedarim, we would mean that even in a case where if Kahana and Rav Asi actually coupled what they said to an Isser, says, well, if Rav didn't say what I think he said, then I want all of the parents of the Olam to be Usser for me this week. That's okay. You know, they're not going to be Usser any more than they would be Usser with a Neder. So we had over there, Adein Amar Shvua, so the Halki Amar Rav, and the other one said, Shvua, so the Halki Amar Rav, the Kochad Vechad, Adaiti, the Nav Shapir Kamishtabea. So each one of them was actually saying what was completely true according to the other one. Now, there's a Chiddush over here, with the Chiddush being, and this is how the Ran explains that what we're asking over here is, Hechidami Shvua Shagagas, anybody can figure out Hechidami Shvua Shagagas. What we're asking is, how far are you ready to go to be Mata Shvua Shagagas? And since over here, this is a very different kind of case, because, I mean, you'd think that Rav Kahana would think to himself, well, I mean, is Rav Asi insane? I mean, maybe he's right, you know? So maybe in this case, I should hesitate a little bit before I commit myself, and vice versa. Afal Pekin. So even though there's strong basis for a person to need to take it into consideration a possibility. Even so, we consider it to be Nidre Shavua Shagogas, because the fact is that this is what he is convinced is absolutely true, even after years, the other Lush. Now, where things become much more complex is the last part of the Mishnah. How exactly does the language of the Mishnah, Kol Asher Yevate B'Shvatayim, Ha'adam B'Shvu'ah, what exactly what we mean, Kol Asher Yevate Ha'adam B'Shvu'ah, the bitui of the Shvua is important, which means that it's going to be important to us whether the particular formulation of the Shvua is a mistake. So let's take a look at this. We have a machlokas bechamei beit hillel. Okay, so what happens? We have 10 people. Two of the people were his father and his brother. Beit Shammai says, well, father and brother, of course, are mutter, because he never meant to include them, but everybody else is us. So Beit Hillel says, no, once you're going to be mevatel, part of the neder, then the whole thing is going to be batel. Okay, so now, what exactly are the parameters here in the svaras that separate the din of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Now, it turns out that we've got a Mishnah right here in the Dorim, later on, Tananatam. So it says later on like this. Somebody makes a neder, and he makes a neder that he's not going to have any wine all year long, this guy says. And then he is upset about the fact that he can't have wine on Shabbos, can't have wine on Yom Tov. So you can go ahead and you can make a petach out of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and you can say to him, if you would have realized that it's going to be like a chilul of Shabbos, you're going to be mezalzel on Shabbos, if you don't have wine, you're only able to use grape juice and so on, would you have made such a neder? And he would say, no, I wouldn't have. So then the halacha is that barishona, they used to say that otama yamim mutarim, so then the petach is matir those particular days, but shar kol hayamim asurim. Hashem kein, other days, those days remain asur. So this is not exactly, obviously, but it's similar to the issues in the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the bittul comes because of a mistake. And in the Mishnah later on, the partial bittul comes because of a petach. But the bottom line is that we seem to be dealing with the question about a neder, shuhutar miktsasai, hutar kulai. So in one case, it's automatic, because we know he didn't mean to include his father. And in this case, it isn't automatic, because he obviously is not an idiot. He knows that if he said a whole year, that the whole year includes Shabbos and Yom Tov. So over here, we need a pet. Okay. Now, the question is, I think I just could mention that obviously the guy could also come with a charata. I mean, that's a davar pashut. The question is whether charata would have exactly the same halacha as a petach in terms of neder shabbat mitzvah to kula. We'll talk about that a little later. But right now, let's assume that we're talking specifically about a case with petach. So now, the Mishnah said, potchim b'shabbatot v'yomim tovim. And it says over here that until Rabbi Akiva came along, and he taught us that neder shuta mitzvah huta kula. Now you'll notice that it's a little strange to say until Rabbi Akiva came along and taught us, because Beis Hillel taught us that. I mean, so to say ad sheba Rabbi Akiva, so many years later, generations later, Rabbi Akiva shows up. I mean, what does that mean? It's very interesting. If you take a look all around Shas, there's always this lashon ad sheba Rabbi Akiva. We only find it one time that it wasn't Rabbi Akiva, but every time that lashon ad sheba is always Rabbi Akiva, which is interesting because, of course, that same language is the language that is the whole story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai for Rabbi Akiva, that hoya ha'olam shameim ad sheba Rabbi Akiva, and he came to Zikneinu Shebidoron, right? So, okay, so some say that's good for the point. That whenever they were masker, Rabbi Akiva, they were masker the fact that everything, people didn't remember what Beis Hillel had said. And it was as if we're starting over again. Achaba Rabbi Akiva, and so he taught Enoch and Ami. It was Beit Hillel's pshat that had been said before, but it was no longer accessible to anyone. Achaba Rabbi Akiva. That's very beautiful. So Mamela, any time they were masker, Rabbi Akiva, they were masker how he was mahzir the light of Torah when he came to Zikneinu Shibadoro. Okay. So he is basically saying, it turns out now that Rabbi Akiva is saying what Beit Hillel is saying, and the Rishonah Hayu Omrim was basically the Rabbanan that were assuming what Beit Shammai is saying, and that the other days are still remain Isser, just like over here, the other people still remain us. So it seems to be very much the Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, for the first time, we're finally going to look at this and try to figure out what precisely the cases are that allow us to argue about whether the neder is chal partially or whether it's completely batal. And the machlokas here is between Rabbah and Rav. So Rabbah says like this, I hold that nobody, everybody agreed, meaning Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and the Rabbanan, everybody agreed that if the guy who made the neder says, if I would have known that my father was there, I would have said, Kulchem asurim chutz mi Abba. You are all usher except for Abba. So in that case, he's not changing the Iker formulation of the Neder. Because the Iker formulation of the Neder was Kulchem asurim. And he's saying, I still would have said Kulchem asurim. I just would have made it very clear that what you know I meant, I did mean. That's all. So in other words, you're saying we know you didn't mean your father, you just didn't know. Correct. Had I known, I would have made it very clear. I would have said, everybody's also, except, of course, for my father, my brother, whatever the case was, right? Now, in that case, we have the idea of kol hayotze mipi v'yaseh. And this is still Hayotze Mipiv. In other words, he's keeping the same exact neder that he had before. And therefore, L'kol asher yivateh ha'adam bashvu'ah remains L'kol asher yivateh ha'adam bashvu'ah. Since he never meant with the word kulchem to include his father, correct? He's not changing what he would have said. He would have stood sal kulchem. So fine. So the fact that he would have made it clear, and now it's clear anyway, because we figured out ourselves. So what's the change? There is no real change. So there, everybody would have agreed to Beit Shammai's approach. And everybody would have agreed to Barishona, what it was that the Chachamim believed. That only the days that are Aser, are Mutter, and the rest of it remains Aser, because we haven't changed anything. So where is the machlokas where the guy says, look, I would never have opened up my mouth and said, kulchem asurin, which would have given people the grounds to think for one second that I was asuring my father, God help me. I would never have said the word kulchem. You crazy? If there were other people there, and I would have said, Mr. So-and-so, get your dirty paws off of my figs. That's what I would have said. I never would have said all of you, because then what? For a tenth of a second, somebody's going to hear me say kulchem before I could say except my father. I would never do such a thing. Now, what that means is that the person is saying that the way that I phrased that neder is completely wrong, and I never meant it, and I would never say it that way because it would be a chutzpah. So it's not stam, I would have said it differently because that's the way my mind works. It's he's saying I would be very careful not to say it that way. Okay, so if that's the case, then he is definitely not invested in his statement. So there it's not l'kol asher yivateh ha'adam b'shvuah. My statement is wrong. Not only the implications, the initial implications, because I didn't know about my father is wrong. Okay, that I understand, that everybody knows I didn't mean my father. But I would never have made the neder as stated. And therefore, we do not have in that case an Adam invested in his Shvuah at all. So there, for sure, if he says I would have said that, and I would never have said those. If I'm ready to say the word Kuchem, I'm not changing anything. But if he said, I never would have said Kuchem, I would have said, Mr. So-and-so, all of you are usher and Abba, please enjoy the fates. That's what I would have said. So then in that case, we've got a real problem, because then there is very strong grounds to say that this is not the Ha'adam B'Shvuah. So Rabbi Akiva says, listen, in that case, throw out the whole netter, because the whole netter is wrong. The entire statement cannot be supported, not in terms of its implied meaning before we knew about Daddy, and not in terms of the way that the words were used. Kulchem Asurim is not similar in any way to Mr. So-and-so, keep your paws off my figs. Fine. That's where we understand the Machlokas. Rava, however, says just the opposite. Rava says everybody agrees that if he says, are you crazy? I never would have said Kulchem Asurim and let people think that my father was usher. What kind of person do you think I am? Everybody agrees that that's a complete and total mistake, since the way that the netter was phrased is insupportable. That is not Kol Asher Yevateh Adam B'Shvuah. Forget about it. Why would anybody argue? Why would Beit Shammai have argued on a case like that, says Rava? Why would the Rabbanan have argued in a case like that with Rabbi Akiva? Ridiculous. Over there? For sure, Kulam Mutarim, the whole thing is a different matter. I say that on the contrary, since you cannot support a machlokas about that case, I'll tell you where the machlokas is, and I'm going to even explain to you how it's possible that there's a machlokas in the other case. And here's the deal. Lo nechleku. The only machlokas is in the opposite case, where he says, if I would have known that my father was there, I would have said the same words, kuchem asurim, except for Abba. So over there, Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel is saying over there that, look, the point is, even there, even if the words he could have used are the same words, we're also mavata the whole thing. But for some reason, Beit Shammai says that it's not. Now, I mean, I understand mitzad asfora, that I can look at it both ways, but what's the underlying issue, Rava? How are you explaining the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Says Rav, I have a brilliant explanation. Okay, here's my explanation. If you take a look in the Mishnah in Temura, so over there we have, we've discussed this issue many times in many different sugyas. If somebody says, I'm making a Temurat Ola, right? So he's got a korban, and he wants to make this korban into a tumura. So then the tumura becomes whatever the korban is. Suppose a guy takes the animal that's not the korban, and he says this animal should be a tumura of an oila. So then it becomes a tumura of an oila. If he says it should be a korban, that's a tumura of a shlami. So then it becomes a tumura of shlami. But what happens if the guy says harezu tumura oila tumura shlami? What happened? Did he change his mind? Can a shlomi bichal, if it was already a tumura seila, or was he in the middle of a single statement in which he wanted basically half of the value of the carbon to be an oila and half of the value to be a shlomi, and we should sell it, and we should use half of the funds for different carbon? What exactly is the law? So we have that famous machlokas over there, that according to Rebbe Meir, a person's initial statement is taken as binding. The moment he said Tmuras Eila, it becomes a Tmuras Eila, and that's it. You can't say, no, wait a minute, give the guy a chance to finish up what he's saying, not where it contradicts what he was saying before. So according to Rebbe Meir, we view a statement that can be construed as a whole statement as a whole statement. According to Rebbe Yossi, the halacha over there is that Af Bigmar Dvarav Adam Nitfas. So he says No, wait until he finishes the statement. And a statement holds together in context of both beginning and end. Now, obviously, the case that we have here is not an exact duplication of the case in that Mishnah. But there is a fundamental insight that we can gain from that machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And that is that according to Rabbi Meir, we first hear and relate to the first part of a statement. And according to Rabbi Yossi, that isn't so. That we have a psychological mechanism of waiting to hear a statement, and then we interrelate the beginning of the statement with the end of the statement. Now, obviously, the halakhic implications of such a thing in cases where there's a contradiction in between, cases where once one is chal, the other one can't be chal, that's a whole different issue, and we're not trying to make this the same. But we are taking out of it the overall sense of how the brain relates to statements. That's what we're taking out of it. Therefore, says Rava, I think that this is a brilliant explanation of the machlokas over here. Because if Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Meir, so then that means that Beit Shammai would be saying is, if you want to analyze whether a statement has changed in a very significant way, look at the first part of the statement. Now, over here, the guy made a neder, kulchem asurim. And now he's saying, oy vavoy, I made a mistake. What's your mistake, says Beit Shammai? I said kulchem asurim, but I really meant kulchem asurim, chutz mi'aba. You just said the same thing. No, I added chutz mi'aba. Oh, I barely even heard that part. So according to Beit Shammai, there's no significant change. Because anyway, we knew that your Abba was never included, even if you had said the words kulchem asurim. So now that you're telling me you would have revised the language of the neder, that's not a significant revision. And therefore, we still have asher yivate ha'adam b'shvu'ah, you see? Am I not brilliant? But, says Rava, what it is that Beit Hillel is saying, they hold with Rabbi Yossi, so it's perfect. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, the guy is saying, oy vavoy, I made a terrible mistake. What's your mistake? I said kulchem asurim, but I meant kulchem asurim chutz mi'aba. Oh, that's terrible. So then you weren't invested in that statement at all? Exactly. That's as easy as pie, says Rava. So that would give us a simple explanation of machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and it would be very consistent with the svara that we understand that we need to, for sure, in a case where a guy is not standing by his statement in any way. So obviously, why would anybody disagree and say that that isn't a mistake? I don't understand what Rava is saying. Fine. So this is how Rava understands the machlokas, and that for sure, in a case where the whole language would have changed, nobody would argue, and everyone would agree with Rabbi Akiva, which is, of course, Beit Hillel, and therefore, our Mishnah needs to be understood in that way, that we ask, okay, so what would you have said? And he's saying that, no, I would have still said, kulchem asurim.